Gigit, sponsored by Shillaga Garden Centre in Glan and Plan-les-Ouates.
Hello, you're listening to Dig It. We've been talking about roses today. Where do they come from? What conditions do they like? And what's an international rose trial? And can I go to the trial in Neil? We had your questions about planting roses in shady spots, planting climbing roses specifically with apple trees, and the dreaded rose black spot. On with the show.
It's time for Dig It. We're talking roses. They are pretty. They are also, it turns out, purposeful. I am curious. Hester McDonald is here to explain. So, Hester, first question. Where do roses actually come from?
Well, do you know, you can actually find them almost everywhere. Almost every single continent. Right up to Antarctica, you can find them in Africa, you can find them almost everywhere. So in terms of how a plant has decided to be, which is a little bit spiky with flowers that produces fruit at the end of it, It's quite an effective way of being. And they're remarkably robust. So if you can tell that some of them grow on sand dunes and by the seaside, they will survive pretty much anything.
That I can throw at it in my garden.
Pretty much.
Wait a minute, let's just go back to fruit.
Oh, yes. So after the flowers fall off and they've been fertilised, they've been pollinated by a bee, you get these very pretty, they're called hips, actually, is there?
Oh, this is rose hips.
Hips, and sometimes people call them haws as well, H-A-W-S, hips and haws. And they're very pretty. Some roses are particularly known, so for example, Rosa rugosa, which actually makes a brilliant, very robust, super low maintenance, low hedge, as well as kind of a feature plant in your garden, has these enormous, bright orangey red hips afterwards. And they're beautiful. And they're as size as my thumb.
And you can make jam out of them, I believe.
You can make jam out of them, you make tea out of them, all sorts of things. They're really fantastic. And birds love them as well.
What conditions, though, do roses actually like? If I was trying to make something, if I'm trying to help them grow.
Yes, I would say for an ordinary garden rose, something you're going to get into in a garden centre rather than from a specialist, I'd say. They like fairly rich soil. They're quite hungry feeders. They like it not too stony because they have these deep, deep tap roots and they need to be able to get in to the soil. They like sun. They don't need loads and loads and loads. They're not tomato plants, but they would prefer about 4 hours of sun a day. So they will do in semi-shade, that's fine. And they do like to be watered. So if they're in a pot, do water them. They're not lavenders.
Right. They're not lavenders. Okay, I've just learned something about lavenders as well as roses on this show. So where can I go and see some particularly lovely roses in this region?
So in this region, there's a new rose garden that's just opened in a Parc des Eaux Vives, although is opening might probably be more appropriate. The rose garden in Bern is probably my favourite. I know Bern's a train ride away from Geneva, but oh my goodness, it's absolutely breathtaking.
What's so special?
It's beautifully laid out. There's something to look at all year round. So that as well as roses, there's rhododendrons. There is a stunning, I think, the best view of Bern across the rooftops and over the Bear Garden. It is absolutely lovely. And they have a wonderful collection of old roses as well, rose historique as well, which is, it's just gorgeous. I love it. There's something nice to look at every month of the year there.
I've heard of an international rose trail. What does that mean?
An international rose trail? Well, so there's every year the breeders of roses send their babies off to different trials, which are all over the world. And they're in Europe, they're in Copenhagen, they're in Barcelona, they're in Baden-Baden in Germany, they're in Paris, in Bagatelle. And they send their baby new roses that they think might win a prize and might be the future, I don't know, Peace Road or Madame Mayon of the future, to these competitions across lots of different latitudes to see how they behave, to see how well they do. Will they be okay with scorching heat in Barcelona in all of July and August? Will they be okay covered in snow in Copenhagen? All of those sorts of things. And then at the end of usually a couple of years being in the ground in these trial gardens and being judged several times by an international or a local jury, then they get prizes or not. And after that, then the producers decide, are we going to launch this rose on the market?
That is no trial is as deep or as meaningful as will it last in Cat's garden. That would be the best trial possible, I think.
So the trial that I've been following with a great deal of interest is a new one in Nyon. Not very far from here, and it's the first no spray, no treatment trial in the world. Nothing.
Bold.
bold, very bold.
When can you visit it?
You can go and see it next Friday, which is the Friday the 2nd and Saturday the 3rd, Friday in the evening from 4 to 7 and Saturday from 10 to 1. I'll be there giving guided tours in English to show what people do for an international rose trial. It's absolutely stunning. It's by the tennis club in Nyon, if you know where that is. And the two open days, you can come and see them and smell them.
That is perfect. We'll make sure that there are details of that as well put up on our website. Stick around though. We've got some roses to give away courtesy of Shilliger Garden Centre. Thanks so much to them. We'll be talking about roses throughout this morning. If you've got any questions, send them into studio@worldradio.ch.
Dig It, sponsored by Shilliger Garden Centre in Gland and Plan-les-Ouates. Shilliger, let your inspiration grow.
Hester, you have got us in the mood to see roses. So where do we go to see roses if we are in, say, the Geneva region?
Well, there's lots of nice places you can go and see roses. But I tell you what, you could go and see the International Rose Trial on the 2nd and 3rd.
Oh, OK. You Is could. That in Nyon by any
it's
chance?
It's in Nyon by the tennis club.
And will you be doing some tours there?
I will be doing tours. Every half hour in English, I'll be doing tours of our beautiful new rose garden.
That sounds fantastic. And so I guess it sounds like the way that you explain these different trials, they are in an area for only a certain amount of time. Is that
right?
So
the roses are only there for a certain amount of time, interestingly. And so depending on what sort they are, so if they're a climber, they're in for 3 years. And if they're a hybrid tea, they're in for 2 years, for example, because do they need to get to their kind of grown-up size to be judged appropriately. And once the judging has been done, do you know what happens to them?
They get given away?
No.
Oh.
They get grubbed up and destroyed because somebody could steal the DNA from them and make new roses, genuinely.
That is mean. That seems like such a waste.
After all of that, so they get thrown away and the next years get planted for the 2 years after that.
So whereabouts, if we can go and see the trial next week, whereabouts are we in that 2 year, 3 year?
So there's one group that are being judged right now and they are going to be removed over the summer. But you'll see if you come and visit, and I'm very excited if you're going to come. That would be awesome.
All right, I'll come.
And then there's another group which were just planted this spring, which will then be judged in another year.
I see. Now, our studio here is in Meyrin. Now, just on the outskirts of Geneva. And there are roses even closer than Nyon, in actual fact. We got some roses in Meyrin.
You do have some roses in Meyrin. And you actually, even more excitingly, have some really beautiful alpines in the garden in Meyrin.
That sounds nice.
Because guess what? There's an alpine garden in Meyrin.
I didn't know.
Yeah.
I didn't know.
Nobody knows. And so it's a really interesting garden. It's described by their head gardener as the shadiest garden in Geneva, which is true, actually. So if it's a very hot day, get yourself to Meyrin. So it's an interesting garden. So it used to be a private garden owned by a textile merchant. It's really a typical kind of turn of the century, last century, garden in that it's got these beautiful rock gardens, got lots of really nice trees, which were part of his private garden. And then the Meyrin commune bought it, and in 1960 their mairie was there, which must have been a lovely place to work. And then later on it was opened as a garden.
So what is different about it, apart from it being particularly shady?
It's got a really stunning collection of alpines, which are really lovely. And I like it because the rock gardens are all lifted, so you can walk right in among them to see the plants much better level than you would be if they're all down on the ground. So I like that about it. The other thing I really like about it is if you're a garden designer or a garden grower, you can go and find some brilliant associations of very low maintenance plants that grow under trees. And so go and look at the trees and have a look very carefully at what's been planted on the ground. And so they have developed these groupings of plants to need almost zero maintenance. So they pull out the nettles, but that's about it.
You know I love zero maintenance.
Zero maintenance, they're incredible. And they've got these little walkways right through them so you can get up close and personal with plants. I absolutely love it. There's a little bit of everything throughout the garden. There's pretty plantings, there's animals, there's great play areas, loads of grass to sit on. It's a very welcoming kind of family-sized space. That's what I really like about it. It's not so big that you think, I'm not going to get to see all of it. You can walk around it comfortably in an hour, or you can spend the day there.
What actually is Botanica, and what is this garden doing for Botanica?
So Botanica is a grouping of all the Swiss botanical gardens, and they used to have a week called Botanica Week, but it's now kind of a month and a bit longer, and where they all have loads and loads of activities on it. It used to just be kind of quite technical conferences, and now it's really them opening their gardens to let local people or visitors from further afield come in and enjoy it. And Mira have got this unbelievable program on. So they've really used associations and community groups from all over Mira to come in and put things together. So last weekend they had using wild plants. They had a kind of community radio group where you could go in and make your own podcasts. They had tours of Merin to show you some of their new and interesting plantings, which if you know Merin, you'll know there's loads going on in terms of development and other plantings. There's tons going on. Have a look online or pop into the garden and pick up one of the leaflets. It's absolutely fantastic.
I got a message that's just come in saying, how do I enter the rose competition? I'm about to tell you. Here we go. This is all I need for you to do. If you want to win the rose that we have to give away, in fact, we've got two roses to give away courtesy of Shilliger Garden Centre. Thank you so much to them. If you would like to be one of our two lucky winners today, all you need to do is tell me an occasion when you might offer somebody some roses. Now, this might be some time that you have offered somebody some roses. It might be a time that someone has offered you some roses. It might be completely hypothetical or an experience that you've had, but when and why would you offer somebody some roses? Just let us know. I don't think that there's really a wrong answer here. Oh, you've had a bad day, you've had a good day, it's your birthday, here's some roses. Any of those will do, but why might you offer somebody some roses? Hester, have you given roses?
Yes, often. Very often, because they're a great gift and they're very hard to kill.
When you give roses, though, do you give them as cut roses or do you give them in a pot?
In a pot.
I knew it. I knew that. That's all you need to do. Just tell us why you might give somebody some roses. You can enter on the text 939, start your message off with WRS. You can email studio@worldradio.ch. And thanks to Shilliger Garden Centre for that very lovely prize giveaway that we're doing today.
Dig It, sponsored by Shilliger Garden Centre in Glan and Plan-les-Ouates. Shilliger, let your inspiration grow.
Michelle says, I would give them to someone who's lonely and doesn't have family nearby because they smell beautiful and they lift your spirits. That's a good reason to give somebody roses. Tyrion says, roses, they are perfect for all occasions from birth to death, happy times and sad. Love them. And we got Sue who says, red roses for 40th wedding anniversary because it's a ruby wedding anniversary. That's perfect. And Sarah says, as a new home present, keep them coming in. The reasons that you might give somebody roses on our Roses Show with Hester. Hester, I've got some questions for you. Are you ready?
Okay, tell me.
Ready to tackle some listener questions?
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay, now, as I read these, just know if you have any questions, particularly rose-based today, those are the ones we're going to get to first. Send them in studio@worldradio.ch. Hester, these ones have already come in. Elizabeth says, I'm planning a new garden. I'd like to add some roses, but my garden is shady. Will roses work or will they get mouldy?
So I'd say choose your variety wisely. Yes, of course you can have roses. Roses go almost anywhere. Semi-shade actually is great for lots of different roses. I'd say Iceberg, which is a really traditional variety, or Stanmore Perpetual, the gorgeous Madame Alfred Carrier, which is a climber, all do really very well in shade actually. Or you could choose one when you look at the specifics. So on lots of the rose breeders websites like David Austin or Mayon or anybody like that, you can look at the specifics. So not only can you choose flower colour, is it repeat flowering, but you can also choose characteristics like, is it disease resistant? Does it like shade? Can it go in a pot? And you just use those filters and you'll come up with 20 different roses like that. I would also say, so I would go with your list to a garden centre and ask the people there, will this be okay in shade? And I would also have a crafty sniff, because for me, a rose without fragrance is a bit of a disappointment. And now is the time to go and start sniffing roses in as direct or as indirect fashion you want to do. I would say I would go to a garden centre or rose specialist like Huber or somebody like that and go and smell the roses, because then you can either buy it now and put it in now as long as you promise faithfully to water it a lot, or if your garden's not ready yet and you need to wait a bit, just make a note of it and then put it on the order list for the autumn.
I love that. Okay, another question. Are you ready for the next one?
Okay.
We've got Peter who says, I have an apple tree. It is not producing apples. He says, I saw on TV that you can plant a rose next to an apple tree and they look nice together. Is it true?
Yes, they do. They do look really good together. But I would first off find out why your apple isn't fruiting and are you bothered about it? So if your apple's not fruiting, it could be because it needs a pollination partner or because maybe it's just kind of coming towards the end of its life and you're not that bothered. Or maybe the apples were yuck and you really aren't that bothered and don't want it to make apples at all. In which case, then, yes, absolutely, I would go ahead and put in a rose. But I'd quickly have a quick think about how big is the tree? Is it a 5 metre tree? Is it a 2 metre tree? Because some of the really big climbers, like Kiftsgate, for example, is a traditional British climber, gets to 10 metres tall and wide. So, yeah, it's quite a considerable plant. So you need your tree underneath to be able to support the weight of a plant like that and for it not to get smothered as well. So if it's a bit littler, I would go for either a climber, which are these plants that have stiffer stems and they tend to flower more than once a season, and they're smaller, kind of under 4 metres. They're also much easier to prune. And then there's the other sort, which are ramblers, which are floppier stems, and they get much, much taller, and they sort of climb themselves into the tree with their little hooks. So the climbers I'd go for maybe New Dawn or Zephyrine Druin, and for any of the ramblers, Rambling Rector or any of those would be perfect. And you can get all of those from any good garden centre or from any of the specialists or online as well, I'd say.
One more question for you. Problems with roses, yellow leaves and black spots. What does this mean?
So, black spot is rose black spot, I'm afraid to say.
Black spot.
Black spot, yeah. And yellow leaves can either be that your rose is missing something in the ground and it's short of some food. So I would start off by thinking kind of good general cultural care. So pick off any diseased leaves. Don't compost them. Bin them. I would say make sure that your rose has got lots of enough air around it, hasn't got any tangled stems, there's nothing dead or damaged in the middle of it so that the air can circulate effectively. And I would feed it. Roses are hungry feeders, and a rose that's in either poor soil or is short of nutrients is going to be more prone to any of these problems coming around. To be absolutely honest, the warm weather and damp weather is perfect breeding ground for pretty much all rose problems right now. So it might not be the fault of the ground, but I'd start with kind of good cultural practices to start off with. And if you want to avoid these problems, go for one that's disease resistant. Buy a modern variety that's disease resistant.
Okay, hope that helps. Keep those questions coming in. If you've got any more, we might have time for another couple of questions if we get any more questions coming in. But do tell us, what is the perfect reason to give somebody a rose bush? You'll go into the draw for one of the two roses that we've got to give away, courtesy of Shilliger Garden Centre.
Dig It, sponsored by Shilliger Garden Centre in Glan and Plan-les-Ouates. Shilliger, let your inspiration grow.
I've got some responses to our question today. When is it a good time to give roses? Hester, I need you to rate these for me. Let's just say 1 to 10. You can pick your favourites. This won't be who wins, by the way. I just want Hester's input on reasons for giving roses. Isabel says, roses are wonderful as they come in all colours and just right for any occasion. Plus, people always love roses, so it's always a good choice as a present.
Well, that's a good one, isn't it? That's got to be a 10.
Right, 10 out of 10. Elizabeth says, you don't need a reason to give roses a gift. I love hearing stories of people giving flowers, plants or cakes just to be kind to someone.
Oh, that's nice. That's another 10. So I'm not helping, am I?
No.
No.
David says, hi Kat and Hester, how about because of a guilty conscience? Only joking. I'm too old to have a guilty conscience. Actually, he says, I think pink roses for the garden and give them to my wife. Naturally, the stems are a bit short, but they're a lot more fragrant than the shop-bought ones and cheaper too. Oh, David, you're romantic.
That's fantastic. That's 10 because it made me laugh a lot.
10 out of 10, right. We've also got on the text Anne, who says, a rose bush is a great present if you're leaving the country, as they'll remember happy times spent together every time it blooms. From Anne.
Oh, that's lovely. What a nice idea. 10.
And someone says, to say thank you is a good reason.
Yeah.
All right. It sounds like you're all just 10 out of 10. Well done. Hester, thanks. You've made that so easy for me to pick some faves. We've got a question that's come in from Cora as well about roses. Cora says, I'd like a rose for a pot for my table on my balcony. Do you have a recommendation? Now, it sounds like, unless Cora has a humongous balcony with a giant-sized table, it sounds like she's looking for something quite miniature.
Yeah, and luckily, Roses come in miniature size. It's actually a whole classification of roses, a miniature.
That's quite convenient.
It is. And I've got an absolute cracker for you. It's called Zepetti, which is a very cute name. It's from Meillon. It's red, very fragrant, blooms from May to November. It's absolutely gorgeous. And it's teeny tiny. And you can either get them as a little sort of blobby bush in a pot, or you can have them, they've been grafted onto a stem, so they're a little bit taller. Both gorgeous. Zepetti. Love sun, semi-shade, water it occasionally, feed it a bit. It will keep flowering for months and months.
That is fantastic. Cora, there you go. You've got one rose. Go out and ask for a Zepetti. That's where you can. That's the one that you want for your table. I hope that helps. We are also giving away this rose. Going back to my question about when is it the perfect time to give a rose. This rose that we've got to give away is from Shilliger Garden Centre. They have given us two to give away this week. I also want to mention, though, if you don't win, we'll go and buy yourself a rose coming up this Saturday. Why do I say that? Well, because they have a very special day this Saturday, because they have 30% off all of their sales stock. It is a kind of pre-sale that they are doing in all of their three Shilliger Garden Centre stores. So this Saturday, the 26th of June, 30% off of all of their sales stock. Well worth popping along and having a look there. And if you're lucky enough to win the rose today, well, I suggest you go and pick it up on the Saturday, because you might be able to look around for the actual sale as well. One other place that you can go and see roses, though, just a thought, maybe if you want Hester to show you round and explain the roses to you, is to take a tour with Hester. This is something that you can absolutely do. These are the garden tours that, Hester, you do at the Pangin Garden.
Yes, exactly. So there's a chateau in Pangin, if you don't know where it is, and there's a garden. And the garden's split into two halves. One is a sunken garden, and there's a historic vegetable garden. On the other side, there's a rose garden on the terrace. And if it's rose time, then we'll go and look at the roses. And they're historic rose varieties, very beautiful, very fragrant, and very lovely to look at. And we've got a couple of tours coming up, actually.
Yeah, tell me when they are. I know that you're doing one this... You're actually doing one today.
Doing one today.
Maybe in the... Does it happen in the rain?
It happens anyway in the rain. Bring a brolly. Bring a brolly.
But today's in French.
Today's in French. If you want to come, you sign up online. Just go to the Chateau de Pangin website and click and send, and you'll be on the list.
When are you next doing one in English?
The next one in English is part of our Digital Detox series, and it's on the 8th of July. It's also in the evening, and this is all about enjoying the garden as a sensual experience and detaching yourself from your phone.
Wait, does that mean that you're not going to let me take pictures?
Pictures. Pictures with your eyes only. It's all about tasting and smelling and touching and experiencing with your whole body and enjoying, not thinking, do it for the gram the whole time.
But why do you do anything if not? Yeah. No, I'm joking.
Pixar, it didn't happen. Exactly. But it did happen and we enjoyed it.
How much does taking a tour with the incredible Hester McDonald's cost?
A whole 10 francs.
10 francs?
10 whole francs.
And that's to go around the whole garden. At the Chateau de Pangin.
Exactly. With
That's
me.
That's beautiful. Okay. So, a couple of events we have mentioned on the show. That one is on the 8th of July for 10 francs at the Chateau de Pangin. You can sign up on their website. We also had a message come in from Scheidel saying, when was the event in Nyon again? That was for the Nyon trial. When is that event?
It's next Friday, which is the 2nd, and the 3rd, which is the Saturday. We'll put details on our site as well. You don't need to sign up for that, and it doesn't cost any money. Just come. Come say hello.
Wonderful. Thanks so much, Hester, for talking about roses. They are practical, they are beautiful, and there are so many reasons that you can give roses to. Keep your answers coming in. Why might you give a rose to somebody? Send it in studio@worldradio.ch.
Dig It, sponsored by Shilliger Garden Centre in Gland and Plan-les-Ouates.
This episode of Dig It was recorded at the WRS Studios in Geneva, Switzerland, and brought to you by Shilliger Garden Centre. The competition in this podcast is now closed, but Shilliger do have some beautiful roses, so check them out. Even if you can't win one, they're still very reasonably priced. If you have gardening questions for our next episode, send them in now, studio@worldradio.ch.